We'll start the shiur today in Yonei Tzedakah. Will be an introduction. Next week in Mitzvah Shem, we hope to do a shiur on actually how to allocate your funds, to split your Maisa money. But today we'll do a little bit of a overview on Yonei Tzedakah and different inyanim that are negeya to Tzedakah. I'll start off with a story, which is I saw a very interesting story. A certain chassid of the Shinevarov, was the son of the Sanzarov, once came to the Sanzarov and he said to him, "I'm a chassid of your son, the Shinevarov." So he said to him, "Really, you're a chassid of my son, the Shinevarov? Why?" He says, "Because he's one of the greatest rebbes in the world." He said, the Sanzarov said, "What makes him such a great rebbe?" So he started to tell him that, but his avoided the way he can daven, and he davens for hours and hours and hours, and it's an unbelievable davening. So the Sanzarov says, "Yeah, a lot of elachim that daven very, very well." So then he said to him, "Tell me what else is special about my son, the Shinevarov." He said, "He's a Maridig Tamut Chochem. The Shinevarov was known as a Maridig Bal Halucha." So the Sanzarov says, "Yeah, there are a lot of Tamid Chachomim out there." And he kept on mentioning these different attributes of the Shinevarov, and the Sanzarov was unimpressed. Finally, this younger man said to the Sanzarov, he says, "You know, there was one time there was a beggar who was going through the city of Shinev, and he was there asking people for money. And it was on a cold, snowy day, and the Shinevarov saw him. And he saw that he was going without, his shoes were ripped. And in the street he took his shoes off, and he gave his fresh pair of shoes to this beggar that he shouldn't have cold feet." So the Sanzarov says, "Ah, Zabal Chesed is Taka Gresa Rebbe." That's how you see if somebody is really a true Rebbe, is someone that's a tremendous Bal Chesed. And the Sanzarov was known. The Sanzarov used to give all his money away. They had it put it in certain circles. The big rabbis wouldn't go to sleep at night with any money left in their house. They held it was a chasur in the minute, because the Yeshami tells us that if someone that puts away money to be able to eat the next day doesn't have proper minutes. So the tremendous tzaddikim, they live their lives on this level. But tzedukah was always something which you'd see throughout the doiris, that the yidden were meisa nefesh themselves. There was mamash a mesiris nefesh for tzedukah. I saw that the Satmarov, when he was 6 years old in yeshiva, he saw there were many boys in his class who came without money for the proper food and had ripped clothing. So the Satmarov went and he called together the rich boys in the class. And he said to them, "You know, I have money, my father gives me money, your parents give you money." And he said to them, what do we need all this money for? The main reason is to help the poor. And he made an appeal at 6 years old. Can you imagine? I see why he was such a good fundraiser in his later years. He made an appeal when he was 6 years old. He put money together, and they went, the young boys went to the tailor and to the shoemaker, and they got clothing put together, and they had food, and they distributed to the shvacher children. They say over there was a story in Tells, the Rosh Hashiva in Tells was Reb Chaim Motcha Katz. In January 1, 1963, Tells had a fire. One of the dormitory buildings burnt down. And he used to come, he was one of Rosh Hashivas in Tells, he used to come to New York for fundraising every single year. So one year, he came in, and he would always go. One of his favorite stops in New York was at the Bava Ruv Zecharo Livracha, Reb Shlaima Bavava, who everybody knew, besides being a tremendous Isha Chesed, was such a charismatic person. He was Makar of so many people. And to speak with him was always something which was a pleasure for anybody to be zoicha to. And the Rosh Hashiva, the Tells Rosh Hashiva, used to go to him every single year, and they would speak. And after they would speak, the Bava Ruv Zecharo Livracha would give him a check on behalf of the yeshiva. That year, he explained to him the situation, how difficult it is in the yeshiva because of the building that burned down and the boys don't have where to go. So the Bavel said, "This year, I'll double your check. You're going to get a double check this year." He said, "However, I don't have the funds now. Come to me a week before Pesach. Listen, you're not going to be here. There's a certain Talmidim of yours that live in Borough Park. You'll send in this and this Talmud. They made arrangements. You don't have to come yourself. And he'll give me the money." Sure enough, a week before Pesach, the Talmud comes to the Bavel Ruv. And you know, the Talmidim in the yeshiva don't always know how to speak you know, in the most appropriate manner. And he walks into the Bava Reuv and he says, Rebbe, I was sent by my Rosh Hashiva. I'm here to collect the choyv. Like the Bava Reuv suddenly owes money to the tells Rosh Hashiva. So you'd imagine how you would react and I would react if somebody came over and said, listen, you owe me money for the certain tzedukah. So the Bava Reuv gently corrected him and says, this is nishka choyv, this is a schus. Says it's not a choyv, it's something which it's my schus to be zoicha, to be able to give money to your yeshiva. And chayene v'chayene, the stories are really endless. But Rabbi said, when we come to actually give tzedakah, we have to realize that tzedakah on a person is an achrayis godoil. Ki yidua, Rabbi Shol Salanta went, and there's a famous story that his wife once bought a lottery ticket. So Shol Salanta got so nervous that he went, he called together three people, and he said, I'm being Moise Maido in front of you three, that if she wins, I do not want to have any part in the money. Because when you have to give tzedakah, you are nothing more than a banker, a teller, rather, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The money doesn't really belong to the Oisha. The Oisha simply is a teller of the Ribbono Shel Olam who has to distribute the money to the Ribbono Shel Olam's customers who are the Aniyim. Money doesn't really belong to him. And he says, I am afraid of the tremendous achrayis of being an Oisha, and it's not something that I can handle. The Welt says over that the one time they saw the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim was fasting one day. So the Talmidim asked the Chavetz Chaim, why are you fasting today? So the Chavetz Chaim said, you should know, I'm fasting today at Tainus Cholim. I had a terrible dream last night. Terrible dream? So they started to push him. What was your dream? At first he wouldn't say. Finally the Chavetz Chaim said, you want to know what I dreamed? I'll tell you what my dream was. I dreamed that I became an Oisha. So they looked at him and they said, is that such a terrible dream? So most of us would wish we had not only such a dream, we wish it would be reality. So the Chavetz Chaim said, yes. He says, it's a terrible dream because if it would become true and I would become an Oisha, then it would be such a tremendous achrayis to distribute the money, it would be something which I'm simply afraid of. That's what the Chavetz Chaim said. And the Chavetz Chaim happened to be with most of another part of the story. The Chavetz Chaim said, we know the Gemara tells us, Ein Odom, the Gemara in Sof Brachos, in Perek Haroya, Ein Odom Cholim Balayla, El Meheruri Libay Bayom. A person dreams at night from what he thought of by day. So the Chavetz Chaim said, I'm having a tainus cholim because I'm upset about my terrible thoughts that I had that day. Because obviously if I dreamt at night I'm becoming an Oisha, I was thinking by day of becoming an Oisha. And for that thought itself, the Chavetz Chaim said he should fast. So, Lamaitza, we have to all realize that when it comes to tzedakah, tzedakah is a moilige achrayis on the person. And I have to tell you, I had an interesting incident a couple of weeks ago. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, that go to collect tzedakah. And there are many Ashirim that want to give tzedakah. People try to give tremendous amounts of tzedakah. And you see the tremendous amount of chesed that's happening. But somebody approached me and he said that there's a little bit of a problem in certain shuls, that people try to daven, and every 2 minutes somebody else comes, and the aniyim are running after the different people. So they suggested in a certain shul, they wanted to make one fund, that everybody should give a tax towards this fund, and therefore the aniyim that come, instead of going to every single person and to go to them personally, let them all go to this fund and take the money from there. So it's interesting. By the Satmar of the Chorin Levarucha, there was once a delegation that came to the Satmar of and said this point to the Satmar of that it's not fear to the Aniyim. The Aniyim are going from house to house. It's a bizoyin for them. They're losing money because people are not home a lot of times. And therefore, rather, the Ashim should all give money to one large fund, and once they give the money to one large fund, the fund will distribute the money. That's a story that once happened by the Samarov. So the Samarov said, and who told you this idea? And at first the people didn't want to say. Finally, after the Samarov really put them up against the wall, they admitted it was a person, and they were even embarrassed to say the person's name in front of the Samarov. So the Samarov said that, now I know that this person was a person that you're not impressed with this person, because this suggestion is Kenegad HaTorah, and once a suggestion is Kenegad HaTorah, it's probably didn't come from one of the top-notch people. So the Samarov said afterwards, he said there's a Medrash in Shir HaShirim. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim tells us that you have a choice. You can either have the Oni in your house, or you can have a doctor in your house. And every time the Oni comes to you for money, the schus to you is so great that the Ani came to you for money, that you're lucky the Ani came to you. So the Samarov says, what are you going to do? You're going to go and you're going to take away the schus from the Ani. I'd rather it's not something, from yourself to be able to give tzedakah. Why would you do something of that sort? And interesting, the Chofetz Chaim in Avos Chesed, in a footnote, also discusses this shayla. And they approached the Chofetz Chaim with this shayla in a slightly different manner. There the shayla was as follows. The Chofetz Chaim was asked that there are a lot of people coming to the city collecting, and they felt that it was not fair for the aniyim in the city are losing out to the aniyim that are coming from out of town. You know, there's a concept, aniya ir chakoydim. So they tried to do a similar thing. They tried to shut out the aniyim coming from other cities, and they tried to distribute the funds just to aniyim in that actual city. That's a story that once happened by the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim writes over there, the Chofetz Chaim writes, and it's amazing, you read through the piece, there's about 12 reasons the Chofetz Chaim says that this practice should not be done whatsoever. And the Chofetz Chaim says, Koyim Koli says, every person that approaches you, even if you don't have money, you don't have money, but a davar mu'it you can give to every single person. So, you know, there's different levels in tzedakah. There's avada, you try to help a person out, but then the Torah also tells us that when a person comes to you for money, don't turn your eye on him. And if that's the case, every person should be given something. He says, as Chofetz Chaim says further, he says there's a Mishnah of us. The Mishnah tells us, v'hakel afi roif ha-maisa, which means everything depends on how many maisim you do. To write out one big check doesn't compare to spending your whole day giving tzedakah all the time. And it's the Chofetz Chaim says further, he says there are different levels in tzedakah. Sometimes you give tzedakah out tzedakah, and sometimes you give out rachmonis. So when you see the person comes back after a few times, and you see he's really desperate, you try to help him, you see he'll have an extra special day. Now, if you just take your money and you put it into a fund and it works mechanically, robotically, so then the Oni will lose out. The Chofetz Chaim also quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, Hanois in Tzedakah L'aniyim gets 6 brachas. Hamafaisoi bidvorim, if you make him feel good, that's a very important part of giving tzedakah. Not just giving tzedakah, but as you're giving tzedakah, making the person feel good. So what happens then? Then you get Yud Aleph Brochas. So the Chofetz Chaim says if you can get Yud Aleph Brochas, would you like to give away the opportunity to get Yud Aleph Brochas? So why would you give your money away to a fund? So how come Moedim that tzedakah is something that a person wants himself to be involved in, and once a person is himself involved in tzedakah, the milas are gevaldik, and that's something that all the Gedolim strive for throughout the Doiris. The time is short, so I'm not going to cover that many topics today, but I'll try to cover first one topic, which is an interesting topic. How about a person's wife when it comes to giving tzedakah? It happens to be there are myriad things written about a woman giving tzedakah. There's a very famous Gemara in Tainus, Daf Chav Gimel. The Gemara says that there was one time where there was no rain, and when there was no rain, everybody was traveled to the god Lador, who was Abba Chilkiyo. They came to Abba Chilkiyo's house, and Abba Chilkiyo and his wife both went up to the roof. He went up to one corner, she went up to the other corner. They davened, and suddenly the clouds started to come, and they came to give rain to the city. So the Gemara tells us that what happened was, where did the cloud come from? Whose direction? From her direction. So right away they said to Abba Chilkiyo, tell us, how come is it that the rain came towards your wife's side, not towards your side? So he answered, there's a difference in the way I give tzedakah, there's a difference in the way she gives tzedakah. When I give tzedakah, I give a dollar to the poor person. She gives tzedakah, she gives a baked piece of bread to the Oni. So therefore, it's mekarif haniyaisa, which means that there's more hana on behalf of when the woman gives tzedakah, and therefore she has a greater schus of tzedakah. But one thing which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch is that when a woman gives tzedakah, she has to give tzedakah with the consent of her husband. The woman can't just decide to give a very large amount of tzedakah, because kol mashikon si shikon abayla, the woman's money is really owned by the husband, and therefore there's mechuyev for her to clear the funds first with her husband before she gives the tzedakah. However, it's brought down that a davar mu'it, a small amount of money, she's allowed to give. A small amount of money. Now, what is considered a small amount of money? That depends very much on the person that you're speaking about. Right? There are some people that their pocket change can be a couple of pennies, a couple of dollars. Some people their pocket change is a couple of $100. It really depends on the person. But a woman's allowed to give a small sum of money. I once mentioned, I had years ago a story. I remember when I was a bochum, we went collecting money on Purim. So we came to a certain person's house on Purim, and what happened was, you all know how it goes. You dance, you do your performance, whatever you do there in this person's house. And the husband came, and the husband had a pretty good sense of humor. His sense of humor was that, I remember, he threw quarters on the floor at all of us. He said, "Oh, you guys are excellent, you deserve some quarters." And he threw some quarters. I remember we picked up the quarters, it was 8 quarters, we got $2 from the quarters. But then, before we left, he went and he gave us a $100 bill. So he gave us $102. But if you think the husband had a good sense of humor, his wife had a much better sense of humor. She called one of the guys into the back, into the kitchen, and she said to him, "Listen, my husband's a cheapskate." And she went and she wrote a check for $1,800 for this tzedakah behind her husband's back. So this is mamish awishail. I mean, is that mutter or not? I mean, it's not, again, mutter for her. That's one thing. Well, again, I think it was a pretty big schum because his schum was $100. And 100, I'm sorry, 102. I'll take him to 2 quarters, or the 8 quarters I can throw it out. So his schum, his schum was $102. And her schum was $1,800. So l'chayra, clap of the husband, I would imagine it's a very great schum. And what do we do? So how, if I actually gave the money back or not, I'll discuss with you soon. But let's first discuss the halachas, and then we'll see if I have to give the money back or not. So now, I was 13 when the story happened, so it took me a few years till I learned the halacha. But by that point, let me go through the halachas, and then we'll see Lamaisa, what the story, what it is. Now, the Gra happens to be an interesting tshuva in the Noid Yehuda. Noid Yehuda is a tshuva. The Noid Yehuda is in Noid Yehuda Kama, Yardei Simen Ayin Beis. The Noid Yehuda declares, if a woman actually comes to give you tzedakah, are you mechuyev to, and she says, my husband sent this money for tzedakah, are you allowed to accept the money or not? In other words, does she have nemunas? So Noid Yehuda paskens that yes, that even though she shouldn't have nemunas because she's neisas b'tach habayis, which means that she's sitting over there, and the Yiddish is called the kasa, by the cash register, she can do whatever she wants in the house, but however, so vayt to be choshish that she has no nemunas, we're not mechuyev to do. There's a more interesting tshuva, even more interesting tshuva in Noid Yehuda Tinyona Yerideya Simen Kuf Nun Dalet, with there was a following story happened. There was a husband that was very cheap. The halacha was in the zman of the base in the olden days, the bezdin would go in every single city. Today we don't have this concept as much because we don't have a structured city. Everybody in the old days, there was a city. There was a gabbat tzedakah. The gabbat tzedakah approached you and he said, "I tax you this and this amount for tzedakah. You mechuyev to give it to him. And if you didn't give it to him, they came and they took it from you. They came erev Shabbos, it says in Shulchan Aruch, into your house. They took a mashkin and eventually they took the money. There was no such thing as getting it was a tax. You had to give money towards tzedakah." So what happened was, and Yehuda writes that there was a certain woman who her husband was very cheap. She knew her husband had a lot of money. So therefore, she made a decision behind her husband's back to sneak money out of the house and give it for tzedakah. And you guys don't know, go home and wash it. Redo your checkbook when you get home, all of you guys. So you hear, this is a story happened by Noid Yehuda. And the Noid Yehuda writes back, it's absolutely usur. She has no right to do that whatsoever. And the gabbat tzedakah that took money from her, it's genev and the mechuyev to give back the money. Now, Zok Noid Yehuda, there's a concept of a bezdin that can force a person. So Noid Yehuda says, yes, 100%. A bezdin can force a person, but a person's wife is definitely not a bezdin. You better hope not. So Avada, she's not a bezdin. And if that's the case, she absolutely is not allowed to do it. Now, I want to be ma'orid. There's a very interesting Orach HaShilchan in Reish Mem Ches, Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. It's good to look at this Orach HaShilchan. He says something very interesting. The Orach HaShilchan says that it could be Bizman HaZeh, this halacha changed. Why? Because that was only in those days where there was a bezdin. It's a very interesting story in the Orach HaShilchan. That was in the old days where there was a bezdin. So when there was a bezdin, then the bezdin was able to force you to give money. So if she wasn't a bezdin, she couldn't force you. But Bizman HaZeh, where there is no bezin that has a koyach, so a rav can make a decision to tell her behind her husband's back to do it. it's a peldig aruch shulchan, those words, that she can do it because bezman hazeh she becomes like the bezin because there is no bezin. It's taka dova pella. But lemaisa, the aruch shulchan writes a different point. Zahar lo adish lebefanov, when the person tells you he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah,
it's like Kayv Nights Hashem writes, and you say it by a get, you say it in certain places where the Rambam and the Gemara bring it down. But to be Mechadish on your own, Kayv Nights Hashem writes, is a Mechadish to Gisfara. So now, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan tells us. Now, the emphasis is as follows. Bezman HaZeh, it could be this halacha is different. I'll tell you when this halacha is different. What happens if you have a case where a woman makes a lot of money and the husband does not make too much money? Right, where you can have in the time of Chazal, they would say ein nizaynus ve'ein yosef. So the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that in today's situation, where women do at certain times do very well, and a lot of times their husbands are lagging far behind in panasa, then in a, technically speaking, she can tell him, "Don't support me." So in this kind of situation, she could give her own tzedakah. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Now the Emes says, I did do research 2 years later in this story when I had the story with the woman that gave the money behind her husband's back, and I found out that she was the owner of a very successful company, and he had a certain local joint here that he was struggling at. So the emes is, the pashtas, in that case, al pi alocha, it was 100% mutter to take the money in that case. There's a meridig story which is brought down from Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer. It's a story is brought down in Sefer Tufche Yabi from Reb Zilberstein. He brings down a half of the story that once happened by Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer. Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer went to learn as a bocher in the Yeshiva Valozhin. And the Yeshiva Valozhin, he was the youngest bocher. The anias in Valozhin was so great that the average bocher, he writes, they were invited for kest, and the average bocher went 1 or sometimes 2 days a week without being invited for a meal. They had no food. That's how great the Anias was, and that's what the Mesiris Nefesh for Torah was in those times. In any event, the sister, the oldest sister of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, who was 18 years older than him, who eventually became Rav Shach's Shviger, the oldest sister of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer went, and she one time sent him a gift. The gift was a box of sugar cubes. That was the gift that he sent her. After he went and he sent her the box of sugar cubes, she came to visit him 6 months later. Now the purpose of the box was because if she was ever hungry, once she was hungry, if he ever had a day, he didn't have a meal, take a little sugar, put it into water, and I'll have some energy on that day. 6 months later, she came to visit him, and when she came to visit him, the box of sugar was still closed. It was standing on top of his bed on the shelf. It was closed. So she said to her brother, "Tell me, what is the reason why you never opened this box of sugar?" So he said, "I'll tell you the truth. I had a shayla halachas. He was the youngest boy in Valozhin. I had a shayla halachas. I'm allowed to open the box. How come? Because hayois that you're married, and in those times, a box of sugar cubes was quite an expensive gift. So Yoy said, you're married, and that was an expensive gift. I have a shayla. Did you ask your husband or not? If you didn't ask your husband, I'm not allowed to take this matana from you." So for 6 months, he went hungry because he didn't want to go. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer didn't want to go and open up that box of sugar cubes. So his sister said to him, "And if that was your question, why didn't you write a letter to me to find out if I asked my husband permission or not?" She obviously did. So he said to her, he says, "Listen, what happens? I'm going to write a letter to you. Your husband's going to open the letter. So now not only you went and you did a chesed for me, but I did mishal many rotach as toiva. What did I do? I made you shalom bias problems too. Your husband's going to find out you gave such a large gift, and you're going to have problems too." So Ad Khan was the gewaldige koiches of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer at such a young age. And I'll be Messiah with another story. Once we're talking about Rabbi Zalman Meltzer with another story already, we'll say one more story that happened by him. And you see how these Yidden went, and they lived every minute of their lives with such an emuna of what tzedakah actually did for them. And Mrs. Zalman Meltzer was very sick. It was not well. There's a very famous story that before his wife married him, they went to the Chavetz Chaim. The doctors didn't give him that many years, and the Chavetz Chaim said, "The Rabbi Shalom get Laban." He was sick, but it turns out that he outlived all the other Rabbanim in Shalayim of his times. He had an Arichas Yomim. The only thing is that when he was old, the doctors said to him that he has to drink every single day warm milk. All right, that was the refu that they gave him at that time. And Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, when he was in his later years, there was one time there was a tremendous hunger in Yerushalayim. There was no food around, there was no money around, and His wife had one cup of milk in the house. His wife went, took the cup of milk, warmed it up, was ready to bring it to him while he was learning with a charusa. His charusa said over the story. The story is printed in a biography of Mrs. Zalman. And she took the cup of milk, and as she was bringing it to him, she tripped. And the cup of milk spilled all over on the floor. So she was disappointed and very, very upset. And she walked into Rabbi Zalman crying. Rabbi Zalman looked up from his Gemara, and he said to her, she told him what happened. He said to her, "Did an oni come today to the door, and you didn't give him money?" So the woman said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what happened. The poor man came to the door. I looked through the whole house, and he asked for food. There was not one morsel of food to give him. I had not. That was how great the Anias was. And I sent him away." So Rabbi Zalman looked up from his Gemara for another second, and he said, "Aha! Like, now I understand." And he went right in the Gemara. He didn't look even one step further. But this is how they viewed the mitzvah of tzedakah, and we'll continue this Me'etz Hashem next week. Have an easy fast, everybody.